As I said earlier in a prayer, we are going to look at, we're looking at, today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. The International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We're going to look at a couple scriptures, and I do want to let you know that a lot of what I'm going to be sharing this morning, especially the stories that I'm going to share with you this morning, are from the Voice of Martyrs. I think that they're pretty popular. There's other groups like them, but I think they're well known, the Voice of Martyrs, and they have a lot of stories that they share. Sometimes the names are changed to protect the innocent, and so, but they happen just the same. So I did want to let you know that these stories are from this organization. If you open up your Bibles and turn to Hebrews, we're going to look at a couple of the two main verses we're going to look at found in Hebrews. The first one, Hebrews 13:3. Hebrews 13:3. And it reads, "Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in body." The second verse, the second text I want us to look at is in 1 Corinthians 12:26, and it reads, "If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Heavenly Father, this morning we devote time worshiping you, but also recognizing those who serve you in the most challenging way, in the most adverse conditions. They are putting their life on the line. That's not unfamiliar with you. These people, they're following your example. And so, Father, today we want to recognize them and pray for them. Take time this morning to a prayer of support. In your name I pray. Amen. Remember my chains. Remember my chains. That's the command Paul gave to the colossal church, and it's found in Colossians 4:18. It's not going to pop up. Don't look for it, DJ. All right? So, but it's in his final words, he says, "Remember my chains." He commanded to those, he wanted the church to remember him in his sufferings, and everything that he was facing because of his sharing of Jesus with others. We want to take time today to remember the suffering Christians in our world today. I said a couple of weeks, we don't serve a God of the United States of America and Canada. We serve a God who created this rock in which we all walk upon. I think it's helpful as we head into a time of prayer later on to reflect together for a moment on what the Bible says about suffering and persecution. As I read Hebrews 13, "Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." Here is a command to us to identify with those who are suffering, and to put ourselves in their circumstances, in their shoes. Remember the sacrifice that they are making. I think it's kind of a difficult thing for us here in the United States, comfortable United States, where most of us have never known prison We've never known prison like they know prison. Being incarcerated because of what they believe in, not because they did something morally wrong. The Bible teaches us that, as I read earlier, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers, in 1 Corinthians 12:26. It is in this passage that we're talking about the church as a body, and it applies directly to Christian brothers and sisters suffering in their faith, for their faith. They're suffering as a result. We suffer too. When they suffer, we suffer. When they hurt, we hurt. How do we suffer when Christians in Vietnam are in prison? How do we suffer when Christians in Sudan are being chopped up, murdered, because they believe in Jesus? Those places I know are a long ways from here. And how does that impact us? They impact us because we are a part of the body, the same body of Christ. We might not feel it personally, but we feel the effects of it. We might not personally experience the same persecution and suffering, but the larger body of Christ is hurting in parts of the world, and we need to know firsthand about what has happened. And second, we need to allow ourselves to feel a part of this pain. I wonder how real it would become if when they hurt, you could physically hurt, feel it. Like, hey, that hurts. I'm not suggesting that when they lose an arm or their head is chopped off, that happens to us. No, hear me. But I'm saying how much more real it would be to you if you could physically feel the pain that those Christians abroad, if you could feel that suffering, that physical pain that's exerted on them because they believed in Jesus. Remember the chains. When we don't realize about the suffering of others in the world and how it affects us, we don't take in consideration of what's going on over there, we're like, that's you over there. You become kind of self-centered, you know what I mean? That's going on there. It's not going on here, but we're all a part of the same family. It's kind of a selfish way of thinking. And if we keep that same thought, man, I just kind of question what kind of brothers and sisters are we in Christ? How we wouldn't feel that pain. A number of years ago, some Canadian soldiers, four of them, were killed by friendly fire a number of years ago. And the entire nation of Canada mourned. They all met at the Coliseum, and you guys might not know what the Coliseum is like. My Canadian brother does. But this place, it sits like over 16,000 people in this place, and it was packed to the rim. Top government officials, dignitaries across the country, it was a storyline. From BC to the Maritimes, four men out of 331.5 million people, and the whole nation came. Why? Because they're a part of their own. They belong to the same kingdom. They recognize the same value, the history, and they believed in the same cause for which they were fighting for. The whole country mourned the death of those men. I know that feeling firsthand, and not to say that any of you would have not felt that same type of pain when there's been a loss of life, but I will say, I remember the deaths of those my fellow Marines, those who died in training. Powers, Oliver, Savoca, tragically died in a training accident, parachuting accident. Dibley and Hernandez. Hernandez was a bronze medal recipient in Vietnam. Both of those two guys died. Johnson, 18-year-old guy, just graduated from basic training, from airborne school, making his first jump in the fleet. He jumps, he goes through trees, he gets knocked out by a branch while he's going into trees and falls into a stream this deep and drowns. My friend Reyes, military free fall, lost control, his parachute got wrapped around him. It took a while before they found him. And when they found him, they found his back from the ground to where the back of his pack trail as the parachute was 24 inches. Granted, in my community that I operated in, when we found out that when each one of those fellow Marines passed away, we all felt. The same thing is happening for citizens in the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, soldiers of the kingdom, people who share spiritual history, who value what you value, what I value, who believe in the cause of Jesus Christ. These brothers and sisters are facing unthinkable torture, imprisonment, harassment, loss of property, separation from loved ones, and even death. For no other reason than because they believe in the same thing we believe, that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins. Sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. We suffer alongside as we remember, we share the pain, although because of the distance, it's kind of muted, right? Christians in our world, as we remember and hold them in prayer, that's what we should do. I want to share with you this story, all right? Okay. Bear with me. Naomi glanced at her daughter, Ruth. She was scared, exhausted, and though they were about to be killed, convert to Islam or you will die, one of the kidnappers shouted at them. Masked men carrying assault weapons had abducted Naomi and Ruth from their home in the middle of the night. Judging by the brutality of the abductors, Naomi was sure they were members of the Boko Haram, a militant Muslim group trying to take over a territory in northern Nigeria and expel all Christians. This group wants to create a pure Islamic state based on ultra-strict principles. They have attacked government institutions and even mosques that they deem too liberal. Many Nigerian Muslims don't meet their standards. Naomi knew that Christians were a primary target for this group, and she heard repeated stories on how they had entered Christian villages and killed everyone. She was afraid that she and Ruth were next. The kidnappers had marched them for hours through the bush until they reached their camp. Once they reached the camp, both of them were raped. Now their kidnappers were demanding that they convert to Islam. Naomi knew they were serious about killing them. When she and Ruth were taken, she saw them shooting and even decapitating others in their village. Fearing for her life and her daughter, Naomi said the words. She said the words. She says, "There's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the prophet." And her daughter repeated those same words. Satisfied, her kidnappers sent them to work with other women who were serving them in the camp. Hundreds of women have been abducted from this organization during their four-year insurgency in Nigeria. Some had been sold as slaves to generate income for the group, while others have been kept as wives and servants. Some have been able to return to their homes months later after abduction, often pregnant or having already born a child. The Voice of the Martyrs, VOM, is working with several girls who escaped from that group. They are receiving vocational training and other support as they work through the trauma and stigma of abuse. You see, when the girls return to their communities, it is often difficult for them to find a spouse and economic stability that accompanies marriage. VOM workers partner with local churches to provide emotional support and spiritual encouragement. Thankfully, Naomi and Ruth did not have to wait months for their nightmare to end. After a couple of weeks, some of the women of the Boko Haram helped them escape. Although they were free, they felt this enormous shame. They had denied Christ. And they weren't sure they could ever forgive themselves or that Jesus would ever forgive them. Several months later, these two escaped. After they escaped, they were asked to share their story with some visiting VOM workers. When they walked into the room, they didn't look at us, one worker said. They kept their eyes down. The visitors knew little about what had happened to these two women, but they weren't sure how best to help them. Wanting to serve and honor these two women who had suffered, a female VOM worker asked. She asked her, "Can I please wash your feet?" Naomi and Ruth were surprised. You see, in their society, they were near the bottom of a heap. And being served by foreign dignitaries, it wasn't normal. But instead, this Christian woman they had just met was sitting at their feet, pouring warm water over their calloused toes. The water seemed to open up floodgates of their emotion. The women tearfully poured out their story and all that happened to them. They admitted that they did not feel like they could ever be forgiven for denying Christ and converting to Islam. They were not sure Jesus could even accept them again. The VMO workers told them the story about how Peter was forgiven after he denied Christ in the high priest's courtyard while Jesus was being questioned. "It was an unforgivable ministry of fellowship," the workers said. "We are able to minister to them and reassure them about the forgiveness of our Lord." As the women wept and prayed with the VMO workers, they realized that the question they had been asking had already been answered. They were forgiven by their Savior, who knows their humanity and promises never to let go of the followers.
Quite the story.
Acts 26:11 reads, "And I punished them often in the synagogue, in all the synagogues, and tried to make them blasphemy, and in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to the foreign cities." Paul commands us to remember the chains. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Jim Cunningham who works for an organization much like VMO, and he suggests three reasons why Paul would make this command. First, remember my chains, for my chains help advance the kingdom of the gospel. That's the first point, all right? All right, advance the gospel. In an earlier letter Paul wrote in Philippians 1:12-13, he says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of the imprisonments is for Christ." There's a pastor who is serving in one of those countries that end in Stan. He says he wants to go to the police station and share Christ. That's crazy. He said originally he went to jail for being bad and dealing with drugs, but now he says when I go to church on Sundays to preach, he says I prepare two sermons. He says the first sermon is for those who are there in church, and the second sermon is for the ones when the police come and take me away. And they ask me, "Hey, what are you talking about?" That's his second sermon. He's prepared. He says he goes there willingly. And since he's been going, when he gets picked up, he shares the word of God with them. And now he's made a segue. He's where other people are running away from jail. They want to be. He's like, "Yeah, I'll go." He's sharing the word of God. This brother sounds like Paul's writing to the church in the Philippi. My chains are advancing the gospel. Secondly, remember my chains, for my chains make people bolder to share Christ. Philippians 1:14, it says, "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." There's a brother in Russia, and again, all these stories are from VOM, all right? And so this brother in Russia, he said he was a persecuted church, has more fire and energy to evangelize, is now open to Russia to share the gospel. But he said he led more people when they were allowed to than since they've been free. That's something else, huh? It's under those adverse conditions people were saying, "Hey, under the suffering, they're hearing the message." It makes sense, right? Lastly, it says, "Remember my chains, for my chains cause more people to pray." A number of years ago, Dana Curry and Heather Mercer, too, were captured in Kabul. They were held captive for over 105 days in a Taliban prison in Afghanistan. We strongly believe God has us in prison in Afghanistan to help us remind Christians around the world to pray fervently for Afghanistan. Please do not stop praying. Please do not forget. God wants to bring hope and love through Jesus Christ to the people of Afghanistan. Keep praying. Paul believed his chains, one, advanced the kingdom, advanced the gospel. Two, made people bolder in sharing their faith and caused more people to pray for those in prison. By God's grace, this this International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church can do the same three things. So I'm going to ask praise team, come on up. As I close, we're gonna sing this final worship song. But after that, we're gonna take a minute and we're just gonna pray. All right, and pray for those our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted. All right. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and for this gathering of folks that are here this morning who may be thinking, what can a few people here in Palmer, Alaska do? What worth, how much value are just a few believers who are gathered here? What can they do? Oh, the power of prayer. Those coming together, assembled together, going to the Father, praying for those brothers and sisters who are in places where we haven't even been. But for them to know that they have brothers and sisters in the United States and elsewhere who have the freedom to pray, who have the freedom to worship, are remembering them this day in prayer. Father, I pray that we will always remember those that are over there fighting the fight in your name.